Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with 3 key clean ingredients and backed by over 4 decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Washington, what a play call!
You're listening to the best of the Commanders.
And it is good! Washington wins!
A weekly mix of 106.7 The Fan and 980 The Team's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Exciting news for Commanders fans. 106.7 The Fan presents An Evening with Adam Peters. Join the Commanders general manager along with Grant and Danny for an exclusive season preview live at the Arlington Draft House. Get exclusive access and insights from the man making the moves for the burgundy and gold. An Evening with Adam Peters, Thursday, September 3rd at 7. Tickets are on sale right now at arlingtondrafthouse.com.
Do you think Adam Peters is panicking today? I was just driving around yesterday, and everybody who, I guess, witnessed the joint scrimmage, they were apoplectic. I heard Mitch Tischler on with Grant and Danny, and what jumped out at me, and I know there are different phrases, and we're going to have Nikki Javal on, and people are using the word inoperable, but the thing which jumped out to me was he said, if this was a real game, the Commanders' offense might not have had 100 yards.
Right.
Is that what he said?
Well, I think, listen.
That's a lot. It's concerning.
Listen, the only bright, there's no bright spot, but the only thing you can hang your hat on is you can hope that Allegretti will be there in week one and Cosme will be there. That'll settle things down a little bit. Mm-hmm. But that's not to say that they'll be great. No, I don't think anybody thinks that at this point. But you had Cosme missing because of illness. Allegretti out because of the calf. Of course, you've lost Tunsil. So what it had, you had Brandon Coleman at left tackle, and at this point, he looks like a pro bowler compared to the rest of the stuff he's dealing with. You had Chris Paul at left guard. You had Matt Coleman, the rookie, at center. You had Julian Good-Jones, who wasn't good enough at center, so they moved him over to guard. And then another rookie that I've never heard of, Tanoa Togi, rotating at guard. And then you had Connerly, last year's top pick, at right tackle. So it was just a makeshift unit. And I don't think that's a unit that we would start. But the good news is it's a big eye-opener, in my opinion, for if there's ever any doubt that we have enough depth at the offensive line? Obviously, we don't. And I think that clearly they're going to have to make some moves here. By all accounts, everybody that watched that yesterday said it was basically the worst offensive performance they've seen in years in a joint practice situation. Now, the Ravens are really good. So chalk that up. That's part of it. They looked really good just 2 weeks ago against the Dolphins, who are really bad. So we're not the worst team in football. The Dolphins might be up there in the running, but we might be in the running.
It's not a good thing to hear.
It's not good.
It's not ideal to have to bring in new bodies when it's almost September, but if that's what you have to do to upgrade the play of the offensive line, that's what Adam Peters and his staff are absolutely going to have to do when cutdown day happens on Sunday. They'll be sifting through all of those cuts.
For sure.
To try to
Eric makes a good point. I mean, they were down three starters in a joint practice. Okay.
Well, certainly
so
two
they
fifths.
They hopefully will have two of those guys back. I would assume definitely Cosme. So one guy, and then hopefully Al Greddy. So then you'll be down one starter out for the year, but you'll be down.
And Coleman, I think, is going to be
one instead of three.
Honestly, of all the problems right now, I'm not that worried about Coleman. He'll get beat, but I think he'll be okay.
But the problem is if those guys go down.
There's nothing.
Yeah, I'll go down.
It's a real problem.
Then it's a real
huge issue.
Yeah.
And offensive linemen get hurt every day.
Yeah, all the time.
I mean, every day.
Yeah. Listening to Mitch, though, one point that was brought up, and I think Grant brought this up, is Allegretti had 80 snaps last season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a backup.
I know.
Yeah, he's a backup that they've moved to be the starting team center.
But he's still slotted to be a starter.
I know the team is confident in him.
Have to assume he's going to be better.
Team's confident in him.
Mildly confident.
Somewhat.
They tried to go out in free agency and get a center.
I know I'm not confident in him. I'm not confident in Allegretti.
Why don't they just even at full spend the money? What is the deal? Just spend the money.
I mean, they were trying to with Linderbaum, and he just got out of control.
Just spend it.
Spend $29 million on a center.
Beasley, he's one of the top two or three of this position.
Now it's a wild overspend.
I know it's too late.
Now
I'm just saying
too late.
They had all this cap room and you know they decided not to spend it, but it's too late.
I don't know.
Right.
I guess they didn't want to set the market at center, whatever. They made that decision. It is what it is.
It's easy to question it now.
I actually do think it's good that we got exposed. The worst thing could have happened is we gone out there and kind of were neutral. Maybe the Ravens were taking it easy on us or whatever, and we weren't quite exposed.
Sense of confidence.
It wasn't all bad news either.
There
were some positives from the joint practice. Antonio Williams looked really good.
Clips. I'm telling you, I don't dare use the word star.
He's going to be the number three.
He's going to be
the three.
Very good player. What jumped out at anybody that watched him is the way he runs his routes. You saw it yesterday. They put the clips. He's just smoking guys at the line of scrimmage.
I mean, some people were tweeting that they were getting Amon-Ra St. Brown type vibes from him.
That's been the comparison.
If you get a poor man's Amon-Ra in Antonio Williams, that's a massive hit.
He's just got a different wiggle.
Yeah.
And that's what jumped out of people. So I think he's going to be great. And I think also, you take it for what it's worth. Listen, when they were on 11-11, by all accounts, there were batted balls, drop passes, interceptions.
Bad snaps
over the head, all of that. It, like literally everything, like nightmare fuel you could think of. But when they were on the 7-on-7s, when you kind of take the offensive line out of the question, they said they looked really sharp. Mm-hmm. Jaden continued to look really sharp. He just had zero time to get anything done.
So they'd be a good flag football team?
They'd be a great flag football team. They'd be great in Texas, wherever they do 7-on-7s, you know, in high school.
Right.
No, but I think the point is, it's so obvious, blatantly obvious to dopes like us, that they got to address this, that I think, and it's happened early enough that you can only get so much, but maybe they're going to have to dig deep and make a trade, you know, and actually give up some real capital and not just get someone's garbage.
The money quote from Nikki Javala was, "This is the worst I've ever seen the Commander's offense in years. Inoperable offensive line." Mm-hmm. And it was universal. I saw somebody tweet us, "Oh, well, that's just Nikki Javala's opinion."
No,
everybody.
It was everybody's opinion. How does that make you feel as a Commanders fan? 1-800-636-1067.
Told you it was dark yesterday.
Are you in a state of panic? Or do you just say, hey, they've got a bunch of guys who are injured.
Well, two
fifths are out. This isn't really the representation of what you're going to see in their opener against the Eagles. They should be fine.
I hope David Blau has a good amount of bootlegs in his offense for Jaden Daniels to get moving away from the pressure.
You know
that's
what?
Going to be quick passing.
I know that David Blau wants to play more under center.
Yeah.
Maybe he should just let the play shotgun. So you're a little bit further away from those guys.
I mean, if
when you have a suspect offensive line, play a little bit further away.
If Carter and company are in everybody's face in the first series or two, you're probably going to see a little shift towards
that. That's the other thing. I mean, not only are you playing, again, the schedule's brutal, you're playing teams with unbelievable, you know, front fours, et cetera, front sevens, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. They know that we're struggling in that area too. And they're not only are they just good on their own, they're going to get after and try to expose you.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be even worse.
The Eagles coaches, and I'm guaranteeing that the Commanders coaches are doing the same thing. They're gearing up for week one.
Yeah.
That's what they've probably been doing that for a couple weeks.
Right.
Eagles coaching staff, they're gearing up for week one. So they're taking it. You're going to try and take advantage of
that. They have to face a Vic Fangio defense in week one with a subpar offensive line.
Now, part of it is it's not just that these guys are subpar, and that's probably true on some level, right? Like, you know, Julian Good-Jones played two snaps ever, you know. There's a reason he's like 28, 29, been around a long time, just barely played. But also, when you have such a makeshift group in there, everyone knows that offensive line play, communication is so big. They don't have any experience with each other. You know what I mean? And even when you put Allegretti in there, to your point of him only having 80-some snaps or whatever it is at center, they need, I think Allegretti will be okay, personally. I might differ from Cakes. But he's got to get the reps to get the communication down with the guys.
Yeah, cohesion is big with your offensive line. If you miss a big chunk of training camp and you miss the games and the joint scrimmages, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough to get plugged in there, especially if you're bringing in new guys that are getting cut from other teams after the last preseason game. Then you have to get them used to your system, get them assimilated.
I'm guessing it's a 5-alarm fire over at Ashburn right now, okay? I wouldn't be surprised if some guys didn't even go home last night.
Does it change your approach for the final preseason game? Do you say, you know what, we're going to get these guys back on the field?
I don't know, because you're playing against bums. I don't know that helps you.
I honestly don't know. Like, are you talking about playing Jaden Daniels specifically?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Play the first team offense.
No, I don't think so.
You were the coach,
lock it down.
You might trot him back out there.
Yeah.
But Dan Quinn isn't going to.
No. I'm from the Tom Brady school.
Okay.
Yeah, you would do it, but DQ's not.
Yeah, I just don't know what you gain from, like, even if you smoke third teamers. I mean, maybe you get to work on your communication.
They got to work on those type of things.
Yeah, they can do that in practice. I mean, there is a utility to
practice. They've been practicing.
Yeah, but not necessarily this group together. It was a pretty makeshift group. That's the only thing to give you pause from flat out full blown panic.
Yeah.
Is that 2/5, right? 40% of your offensive line that you expect to be there in week one wasn't there. And you're truly playing guys like Tanoa, Toga. I don't even know how to say the guy's name, and I don't want to be disrespectful. He was rotating, apparently, with Julian Good-Jones.
Yeah, he was rotating.
Who struggled
at
center. Don't mean to be disrespectful to him. Sure, he's a great athlete. But, you know, it's a big jump. And Golban, you know, his first shot at it at this level.
It's a tough spot for Golban. He's a 6th-round pick. You want to ease that guy in and not put him in such high-leverage situations as a rookie. But he might be forced. He might be forced into the fray with all the injuries.
The best case is that was just a group that was going to eat it. There was no way around it. You're going against a very, very good Ravens team. The Ravens team is expected to win 10, 11 games. And you just had so much inexperience up front that you didn't have a shot. That's the best case.
You're going to get two of those guys back. Let's hope.
Get two of those guys back and hope. Yeah. And I think that Allegretti will be okay.
And I think that they're definitely on the phones trying to work something out.
But it should be a 5-alarm fire
to get depth. If not making a trade for a lineman, trying to get a free agent. They mentioned that guy, Glasgow?
Is it Graham Glasgow? He's a free agent. I think he's 34 years old.
Yeah, he's the guy for the Giants.
Those guys there's a reason why they've been free agents this long.
I know.
Guarantee, my guess would be, they're all so banged up, they're a shadow of them for themselves.
I'm sure they probably are.
I'd still fly him in here and see what he's got.
I'm sure they are.
At this point.
They're so banged up. They've been through the wars. You know, offensive line guys, I mean, those are car accidents every play.
But when they play the Eagles, they're not going to be starting, you know, Jones and Golban.
Right. It'll be a little bit better. Yeah. It'll be a little bit better.
It ain't going to be great.
Not going to be great.
Because you're going to be going against studs.
Yeah. And also,
Pro Bowlers.
And also, And I'm not sure how they do it in control. They probably do it a little less. They're going to probably, you know, they're going to chip more. They're going to have that extra tight end. They're going to do other things. Yeah. They're going to say, okay, obviously we need help here. They're not necessarily doing that in a controlled scrimmage. This, they, controlled scrimmage, they want to see what they got.
True, but this
so
is.
That was good news. We saw what we got. Not a lot.
This, I hope Bill's ready to block in year two.
But right. See, this is a challenge, not just for that offensive line, because you're going against Davis and Jordan Davis
Jalen
and,
Carter.
And Jalen Carter, yeah. Mm-hmm. Two studs at DT.
Those guys are going to eat.
This is a challenge for David Blough.
Definitely. Yeah,
because David Blough is a rookie OC. Now, I know he's smart and he knows offense. Mm-hmm. And he's been thinking about everything. He's been thinking about the Eagles for weeks. But this is a challenge for him. Big
yeah.
time.
If
big
your,
time.
If your offensive line isn't performing up to the yeah. level that you need them to mm-hmm. in a hostile environment in week one,
yep.
it's going to be tough.
Makes me think of the comments, and we haven't played him this week, that Colin Cowherd had earlier this week where he picked the Commanders last. And one of the things he kind of threw out there was that Kingsbury left. And we really don't know the real story. Did Kingsbury leave because he wasn't feeling good about things?
Hold on, you're making it sound like Kingsbury left of his own accord. He was basically thrown overboard.
Well,
he didn't just.
I heard.
Well, that's the way that Colin portrayed it, and I don't know that he was thrown overboard.
No,
maybe
no,
Cliff.
It was mutual on both sides. My understanding, Colin kind of talked about it, is that he wanted out, they wanted out, everybody wanted out.
Mutual parting of the ways.
Right, so he wanted out. Why did he want out?
Part of the reason, my understanding is just. Communications, you know.
Well, probably had a meeting with Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn sits him down and says, hey, are you willing to have Jaden under center more? And he said, no. Yeah. I'm going to run my offense the way I have always
they
run it.
They wanted to
and
do
Dan
some
Quinn
different
said,
things.
Well, yeah. Then there's the door.
Yeah. I know, but maybe, we don't know this, maybe Cliff Kingsbury is a better offense coordinator than David Blough.
Well, it's very it's possible. Very,
of course
very
it's possible.
Of course. That totally
he has a track
years.
Record of
yeah,
success.
Totally possible.
Including Jaden's rookie season.
But they both wanted out. So that it wasn't going to yeah. happen this year with that group. Regardless. So, I don't know. Will David Blough be a good coordinator? I don't know. No idea. We'll see.
I'm not pining. I mean, are you pining for Cliff Kingsbury to be back?
No.
No, but I wonder if Blough in this offense is going to be as good as anything that Cliff Kingsbury could have done. Cliff Kingsbury is proven.
True.
Yeah, he's also, his system has limitations. It's a unique system. It's like a one of one in the league. I think everybody has been, it's been a breath of fresh air that they're moving guys pre-snap, that they're going to give different looks, not going to be under center as much, for good reasons,
but
not just for dressing.
But what we didn't hear under Cliff Kingsbury was that the offense was inoperable. We didn't hear.
Well, you also didn't have Julian Jones, Tanoa Tagalog.
He had injuries.
And all these other guys.
I don't think.
We never heard it was the worst offense in years.
Okay, yeah. This was a practice. Let's not get crazy.
I understand.
Yeah. It's a practice. And
it just makes me wonder.
Guys. It's not a black
now,
thing.
If they go to Philly and they get dump trucked and lose 31-7.
Yeah.
And the offense then can't
then,
move.
Then we're going to question
they're
it.
They're living in the backfield, and Jaden's running around the
John
entire
Paul Flame,
game.
We're going to question
it. It's certainly not a confidence booster when everybody is saying that it was the worst
it's
performance
bad.
They've seen
yeah, but
in
I don't
years.
Think anybody's insinuating it's a Blough thing. You're doing kind of a, maybe you're doing a different bit, but
I'm not
no
doing
one
a different
is,
bit. I said I'm curious. I'm wondering.
No one's insinuating that.
And I'm not saying Cliff Kingsbury was the best offense coordinator in football, he's not. You could probably name three or four guys off the top of your head who have better reputations.
How about 10?
But he's had success.
He's had moments
in the
for
league,
sure, for sure,
including here.
And then he's also has a track record.
His offenses
goes down. So he has initial success, and then it goes down.
I think,
but his
think
offenses were never called inoperable.
I think what JP's trying to say is that maybe Cliff would be better suited to handle. The line deficiencies more than a rookie.
Why,
first
he
year.
Has a, he runs more shotgun. I mean, maybe.
Well, he's more experienced.
Yeah.
Maybe it's fine. It's possible. David Blough is the worst offensive coordinator ever.
Well,
it's
no,
possible.
No one's saying that. Well, but
the worst one in the league.
But
it's possible.
You're getting a little defensive.
I'm getting a little defensive because this is not an indictment on the offense as a whole, in my opinion.
No, and they're going to work on that. Yeah, they're going to adjust that. But I'm just saying it's a challenge for Blau because he hasn't been there before.
Right. Cliff has run the risk.
I'm not saying he's bad.
David Blau is totally unproven. But I also don't think he's going to – I actually don't think he's going to throw up.
But he's also going to have two of those guys back.
Yeah.
We would assume.
That's what you got to keep in
mind.
They
need those guys back. They better be back.
And they might have another guy if they go out and make a trade or sign a guy.
Yeah, I agree with you, Eric. I think Cliff has limitations, a la like Greg Roman, where things can be great, but you kind of have a glass ceiling. But Cliff has been there before and might be better equipped to handle, you know, everything going sideways in a season.
I just feel like it's a wild. I hear you, and I think I can understand why someone would think that. But I just don't think you even need to go to that hypothetical at this point until he starts throwing up all over himself.
And also, if Cliff was so in demand,
there's no reason to think that he's going to fail.
If Cliff was so great and so in demand, I think he would have landed a different job than offensive. He's an offensive assistant with the Rams, right?
He's basically just
consultant.
He's just standing there in his sunglasses.
Wouldn't he have like an OC job or maybe even a head coaching gig?
Not if he wasn't in a rush to get there.
Yeah, I mean, he's still making money from 19 different employers.
I understand, but like, I feel like he would have landed in a more prominent spot.
Maybe he's just taking his time for picking his next spot.
Possibly. Mm-hmm. Or it's also possible there wasn't a lot of demand for Cliff Kingsbury on the market.
Yeah.
There's that
I just don't think that
too.
Yesterday's performance on any level at this point is an indictment on Blau.
So this is what Coward said, and it was after the preseason game. Because if you actually toss in the one series and then you go with this, the offense has struggled. So he said, Coward said, I've said Washington last place is my pick. Jaden Daniels, 3 snaps, incompletion, sack, run play, punt, all we saw. The offensive line is bad. I don't like the vibe of this franchise. Ownership down. Cliff Kingsbury bailed. Ben Johnson, after interviewing, said it's a lot of basketball guys who think they know football. They just not have enough good young players because they've given up draft picks to get where they're at, and they had a bad weekend.
Mm-hmm. I only counter to that would be I think the defense will be markedly better. I really do think so. How could you be worse? They're really bad. I think they'll be markedly better on defense. They have a lot of bright spots there, potentially. I think Sonny Styles is obviously still in a learning curve. I think he's going to be great in coverage. And I think offensively, if they can find a way to patch the offensive line and chip and help out, it's going to limit them a little bit. I do think they've had some of their better talent than they've had in years.
If you want to weigh in on the Ravens-Commanders joint practice,
some reasons for optimism.
You can do that at 800-636-1067 on an open line Thursday. Don't forget Dave Richer from CBSSports.com. He's going to help you get ready for your upcoming fantasy football draft.
Upcoming for me is tomorrow night at 5.
We know you all have them. And we'll be joined by Nikki Javala at 8:25. She was at Commanders Ravens joint practice yesterday. That's all coming up on The Fan.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grunes. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with 3 key clean ingredients and backed by over 4 decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances, trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Row. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Row. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Row. Go to row.co/listen to see if you qualify. RX only. Go to ro.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan.
For us.
Brian.
What you got?
Commanders made a little news yesterday. They're out on the practice field today. There's getting good work against the Ravens. We'll see what they say this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
I think the center situation is going to continue to be a problem, at least until Allegretti gets back on the field. This Ravens roster is loaded. But they made a little news yesterday with the addition of DJ Humphreys. Humphreys made a Pro Bowl playing for the Cardinals in 2021. This is a real seasoned NFL veteran. He has over 100 starts in his career moving around. Generally, though, playing tackle. So I want to start with any notion that DJ Humphreys addresses the center position.
No.
It does not.
It doesn't, but it also strengthens the depth.
Right. It's what if you're a guard, maybe you can kick inside and play center. Generally, there's tackles, and then there's interior offensive linemen.
Unless you're Rollie McKenzie.
Rollo could do it all.
He played from right tackle to left tackle.
That's crazy. Now, the question by bringing in Humphreys is, does it mean anything for Brandon Coleman? I know my answer. I'm curious yours.
I don't think so. I think they're looking, and the thing about this team, they love to have guys that can do more than one job, you know? So, but then again, if something happened to Brandon, you want another tackle to be able to be there too, right? It's depth. Experience depth.
Say for sure. Like that. This is a depth move, and it makes sense. They just cut Foster Sorrell. I don't know that DJ Humphreys is definitely going to make the roster, but he's out there practicing today. That's his opportunity. Mm-hmm. They also are so beat up that they just need people to fill out the roster.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, running through the injuries of guys. Have you seen Marcus since the
No.
So I saw him for the first time yesterday walking. So there's different groups of injured players. Some of the injured players we just do not see. They do not come out of the building while the media is present. Other guys are coming out, working on the side field, and you kind of see them. Like yesterday, I saw Bill and I saw Sennett, right? Mm-hmm. And they happened to like walk directly by me. So I said, like, "What's up, fellas?" They're like, "What's up, man?" Like, it's just an interaction because I know these dudes. There was no information gleaned outside of they're walking off the field where they were running around and seemed to be okay. So, like, for week one, Sennett, Bill, that they appear to me to be tracking the right way. I saw Mariota yesterday, and he was walking fine. He said hello, I think, to Candy and walked into the building.
Mm-hmm.
But the brace on his leg was significant.
Okay.
It wasn't. You know how there's like the leg sleeve for compression?
Yeah.
This was not that.
Yeah.
This was a brace with hinges and metal and things. I think this is a useful exercise running through all the people that are not practicing in Baltimore. These people are getting the same amount of work as you and I are. Marcus for week one. How do you feel?
I'm kind of, I would say 65-35.
Plays?
Yeah. The reason I say that is because I had to wear one of the big old braces before. And that big brace is more to help stabilize so you don't step wrong and mess something up. And then I wore mine in the game for about 2 weeks. And I said, "Coach, I can't do this." because it was too much mental. It affected me too much mentally. Put on the other one, and then you don't think about it, and you know that you're good enough to go, and then things begin to happen quicker. But I think it's more to make sure nothing happens.
Agreed. I also thought it was fairly telling yesterday. Dan Quinn had an answer about trying to deal with the injuries, and he said we also have to think about the season. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just about can guys go in practice, can guys go in this preseason game, but it's also about week one and beyond. Quinn yesterday said most teams are going through the training camp process of guys being out. Had it been a regular season game, I would say a number of these players say they're going to go out and do it. Mm-hmm. But when you're in this space, the smart play is to think of all the games that you're going to be playing. So with that context, of the guys I think he's talking about that if it was a regular season game, they'd probably be out there. I think Bill, I think Payne.
Mm-hmm.
And dude, I'll be honest, I've seen Bill. We believe it's a groin, lower body is what we've been told. Payne, I'm basing this on his incredible durability throughout his career.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people want to knock Payne, say he hasn't lived up to the draft status. I'm not sure you're correct. You can never knock that dude's durability. And if that's the best ability, it's a pretty big deal.
There you go.
McNichols, I do not think is in for week one.
No.
Sennett, I do think is in week one. I think that's another dude that DQ's saying if this was regular season, guys, some guys could be able to go. You with me on Sennett?
I'm with that.
Okay. Tunsil, obviously not going.
No.
Nick Allegretti, how you feel for week one?
50-50.
Hard to feel more confident than that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we haven't seen anything.
Yeah, just like and like the move yesterday with Humphreys. Can there be another move coming soon?
Humphreys is available.
Yeah.
Like, I think when we get to Sunday evening and the rosters are cut down, from Sunday evening to the following Wednesday.
It's going
to
be some moving.
Dog, I think there's going to be substantial movement. And one thing I find really interesting is we keep having these like debates about can they keep seven wide receivers with four tight ends and can they keep three quarterbacks?
Some of those injuries may limit a lot of those positions.
I just wonder if they know they're going to break camp, have two full weeks, and they have their eyes, they've talked to people around the league about probably a fairly significant portion of players they expect to become available.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you break camp. Generally, you would want like 10 offensive linemen, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if you break camp with 8 or 7 even, just because you know how much change is coming. Or probably 8 because you got to break with Tunsil. But I could see them breaking camp with fewer linemen on their roster than normal
mm-hmm.
because they know they're adding other pieces from elsewhere. Whether they know exactly who they're going to get or they just have a pool of guys they want to get.
I'm sure they have a list.
Right.
That if this guy is released, we are calling immediately.
Right. They're saying
Cosby probably already reached out to the agent.
Conversations happen, man. Cosby's out with an illness today for week one. 100%.
Yes.
Okay. Payne, I think he's one of the, if this was regular season, he'd be going.
Yeah.
Johnny Newton obviously is not. May have moved him. I guess they haven't moved him yet. This next group is very interesting.
Okay.
Kalyvon Chaisson, dealing with a knee. I think I saw Chaisson for a moment yesterday, but I can't say definitively. Where are you at on Kalyvon?
I'm leaning more he'll be out there.
For week one?
Mm-hmm.
Jordan McGee, dealing with a shoulder.
Jordan had some injuries last year and stayed off the field for some time.
His rookie year, too.
I would be 50-50 at best.
Trey Amos. I'm sub 50.
I'm sub 50 on that one right now, based off of what I've seen.
I don't know how you can't be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think it's like, I almost wonder, and perhaps this is a useful exercise, perhaps it's silly, I almost wonder if there's a better chance of Amos going to short-term IR once they break rosters than playing week one. Like, if my only two choices were put your chips on the line for one outcome or the other,
mm-hmm.
I think I'd have more chips on short-term IR.
Yeah, I'll probably lean that way with you because you haven't seen much in the injuries, but, you know, and but I would say this again, and listening to when we had Rasul on, that's what what swayed me the whole way. He has to get over this mental hump. And for those who've never been injured and have come back from it, you can be strong. They can tell you you're strong. But if you have any hang up mentally, you never, ever push it to find out that you are. And that right there, not everybody has to deal with it. Some people just come back and they go. They don't think about it. But there are people that mental hump is the last thing that they got to get over. And when they get over it, they just go right back to what they were. But it takes some time for that to happen.
One more, and I think this one is massive. Odafe Owe, where are we at? And these calf strains, the fact that, like, Tunsil's out, we know he's out. But the most important calf all of a sudden on the Washington offense is Nick Allegretti. I think the most important calf on this defense is the guy you just paid $100 million to.
Yeah. And that calf strain, you have to look at that differently these days. It's not just calf anymore. You start thinking about that damn Achilles. And that is a problem.
Absolutely.
So,
confusing times trying to figure this out. Specific to DJ Humphries, I think it's a good depth piece. The problem, I would say, is I don't think their depth issues are really at tackle. I think it's in the interior. Like, because a big part of that is Coleman and Paul were battling for left guard. Now Coleman is the left tackle. So Paul is the left guard. That competition has been removed. We talked at length about the problems at center. Cosby's got the other guard spot locked down, but you have Andrew Wiley's a swing tackle backup for you. He can play guard too. We've seen him do it. And then Trent Scott. I don't think Scott could be bumped inside the guard. So Humphries.
He's played both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think just a few games, like one of the preseason games, he was at guard. And I know I saw him at guard in practice.
There you have it. The injuries are significant. We're watching it all unfold. Going to try to track somebody down that was in Baltimore today. You're listening to B. Mitchell Finley. Nobody go anywhere.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA, FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with 3 key clean ingredients and backed by over 4 decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say, "We're really doing this." But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off select plans. Terms and conditions apply.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Hello, friends. Jim Nantz style. What's up? Welcome in. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We will take you all the way up to 6:15 pregame of Nationals baseball right here on the Fan. In studio with us at 3 o'clock, you will hear from the ace of the Nats, Cade Cavalli. He is the hottest pitcher on planet Earth. 9 straight quality starts. Make sure you're listening at 3. And at 3:30 today, Danny, in 90 minutes from right now, we have a massive G&D show announcement. We're going to be doing something in the very near future that is not only one of the coolest things we've been able to do while working at this radio station, but listeners can do it with us. They can take part in this very special night with us. The announcement in 90 minutes.
We will announce what that thing is, and I think you're going to want to be a part of it. If I know you, the royal you, the audience, you're going to go, Grant, Danny, fine. This thing, though, pretty cool. That's my feeling about it.
I've had a lot of people ask me for something like this for a while.
Yeah.
Because we used to do some stuff like this.
Things were done.
3:30. Be here or be square so that you are first in line to take advantage of the announcement. That's all I can say right now. By the way, if it sounds like I've got something in my mouth, it's because I have something in my mouth. I've got a mint. And it's so delicious. I was going to take it out so I sounded better. I'll be honest, it tastes too good.
It's too good?
This mint is so damn good.
How good is it?
Good enough that I'll be at 92% verbally.
Yeah.
And that you guys will have to hear a guy talking that sounds like he's... Like, if the mint was in my mouth for longer and it was smaller because it's dissipating...
You might not notice it.
You wouldn't notice it. But I got it in the side of my cheek. It's like a nut in a squirrel's mouth or
something
like that.
Sure, yeah.
And it's taking up a lot of real estate. So as the show goes on, I think I'll sound more normal.
Yeah, well, this happens during the winter months oftentimes where, you know, you got a little respiratory situation, you got a little sinus situation, a little cold, whatever. So we're doing the cough drops. Occasionally I'll catch myself. I try not to do it, but you'll hear it clacking. You know the teeth clack where it's like you move from side to side and you're too close to the mic and it's like, oh, it's just like I did that and I screwed up and no one will care, but like I care. You know what I mean?
We're going to get through it together.
Yeah, we will.
Let's talk Commanders joint practice in Baltimore. Speaking of things we have to get through together. Apparently, it was a debacle. Went very, very poorly. If this was a test of readiness for a team that will not have its starters taking part in a competitive period against an opponent until they play the Eagles in Philly in week 1. According to all of the reporters that were there, don't get mad at me, don't call me a hater, don't tell me I'm choosing to be negative. I am regurgitating the information from the people that did the reporting on site. Apparently, Danny, it was an utter shabingus today. I'm going to read this tweet from Nikki Javala, covers the team for The Athletic. And I quote, "This is the worst I've ever seen the Commanders offense in years. Inoperable offensive line."
Inoperable.
Inoperable is a huge word. Not in terms of synonyms. It's large in that way, too. In terms of how bad it was, apparently. There's a guy named Josh Tolentino. Do you know his work?
I don't.
Columnist at the Baltimore Sun. So he's just covering this thing from a Ravens perspective.
Right.
He was kicking the Commanders around left, right, and center, for what it's worth. Talking about the 11-on-11 period. He said, on the final play of this red zone series, he goes into the specifics of what went wrong on that play. And it's the fourth consecutive play like it. Here's a tweet he had. Even when Jaden Daniels is finding time in the pocket, his pass catchers aren't helping him out very much. He said, oh my, Trey Hendrickson, Travis Jones, and Trenton Simpson party in the backfield for a group sack on Jaden Daniels, Ravens sideline going crazy. 4 of 5 plays on this Commander's drive have resulted in no gain or a tackle for loss. There was a play, apparently, where a center, Matt Golden, snaps the ball over the head of Jaden Daniels. He has to retreat to get the football, pick picks it up, throws it downfield for an interception. Set it to the blooper music. It was that kind of a practice today in the closest thing we're going to get to a dress rehearsal.
Big yikes. Because again, unless something changes to go full Chris Broussard style, that was it from the starters, right? I mean, third preseason game. Unless they decide, as Dan Quinn did this early this week, hey, this is supposed to be a walkthrough, but I'm concerned enough. He used the word disarray. We're actually going to practice. Maybe there's enough disarray now to change what they do in the third game.
Really important caveat to all of this. I generally grade on a curve with practices as is. This is more important because it's a joint session and it's the most important practice they're going to have. But the fact that Dan Quinn was so annoyed by what they looked like when the guys that they care about were on the field against the Lions that he used the word disarray, it's all adding up to the same picture being painted here, which is this is not trending in the direction that you're looking for on August 26th with the season nigh. Let's go to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Welcome onto the show, our buddy Mitch Tischler of Monumental Sports. He was on the scene today at Owings Mills. Mitch, what's up, bro? How are you?
I'm much better than the Commanders are, I can tell you that much.
Oof. Was it that bad, dude?
It was pretty bad. I think defensively there were some things that there were some good things to take away. They definitely were able to get pressure on Lamar, and considering that both Adafe Owe and Caleb Onchaisan were not practicing, I think that that's a nice kind of feather in their cap. There was one play where they tried to run kind of a QB sneak, and they had that thing hemmed up for a multi-yard loss at TFL, if you will. But on the offensive side of the football, man, there were a lot of issues. It was honestly across the board. Started up front with the O-line, included some receivers and tight ends with drops. There were procedure penalties. There were holding penalties. There were offensive PI penalties. I mean, it was kind of across the board a pretty thorough butt-kicking by the Ravens, outside of the very final period where Antonio Williams caught a touchdown on a fourth and got to get it score to win the game scenario to kind of finish off practice. So that was some nice kind of, maybe a nice way of saying it, lipstick on a pig, if you will, of a joint practice with the Ravens.
So Nikki Javala of The Athletic used the word inoperable when talking about the offensive line and said she hadn't seen the offense look like this in a practice. You've been around the block here. You and I were on the practice fields watching practices together in the early 2010s. I mean, is that fair? Like, was it that ugly? And then also, in terms of joint practices, you saw the debacle with the Patriots and some of the others. Like, was it on that level?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want it to be hyperbole because it's hard in the moment to really remember that Patriots practice. But all I kind of remember is the Patriots coming in and kicking tail down in Richmond, and this felt worse than that. I think it's important to remember Sam Cosmi wasn't out there. You know, they were working Matt Golden and Jaden Daniels together. Not the first time, but essentially the first time. And there were a number of snap issues, both in shotgun and under center. He snapped the ball over, Jaden said. There were a couple bobbled snaps coming out. I think, quite frankly, it just kind of cemented what we've seen from Matt Golden, where, he just doesn't have the foot speed or the quickness. And I would say the quickness across the spectrum of center, between the speed with which he snaps the ball, his feet being able to get out and move amongst an offensive line, it was rather inoperable. I mean, this team would have had less than 100 yards of total offense if this was a NFL football game today.
Oh.
Highlighted kind of by the first offensive play that they ran, Golden got beat by the same kind of twist stunt that we saw Julian Good-Jones get beat by in the Detroit game, kind of right away. And it was a struggle across the board. But the biggest takeaway is that there's a 0% chance that if Allegretti is not available, that any starting center is on this roster right now.
So I want to go back to that. Mitch Tischler, Monumental Sports, is with us. But before we even get specifically into center, they have a lot of guys that are not practicing right now that hopefully are going to play in week one. And I guess what I want to know is, fans are looking at all the tweets and the reports coming out from the people that were there, and there is this perilous feeling of like, oh my gosh, this is really bad. is it that bad? In other words, guys like Chaisson and Owe, and many of them are ideally going to be back. And on offense, Cosmi's going to be out there. Otherwise, you're going to have some issues maybe. But I don't know how much of this is who was available today and they got outclassed because there were a lot of backups playing.
I mean, absolutely, that's a big part of it. I got to be honest, I'm not particularly concerned about the defense. I thought the defense has looked good in camp. I thought, obviously, with the two turnovers we saw in Detroit, that looked good. The concern is purely on offense for me. And it starts with the group up front. You know, the injury attrition is really hitting them. And it's really tough when you have today Sam Cosmi didn't practice, so you had three starting O-linemen that weren't out there. You know, you think about this thing with Allegretti out there, with Cosmi out there, you know, can it be a viable group? I believe so, yes. The problem, what exacerbates what you see today is that we haven't been able to see that all camp. And so you're kind of, quote-unquote, guessing. You know, one of my big things with this front office slash coaching staff, a lot, I think that they've hoped for the best and failed to plan for the worst. And, you know, I hope that this is the worst right now. I hope that it doesn't get worse than this, but there's every opportunity that they get out there and the group isn't able to get together. I mean, you know, pretty much they had one big play to Terry McLaurin. They threw a little kind of post to him, and he threw a stiff arm and probably took it for a touchdown. It's hard to kind of tell in these things what it ultimately would have ended up as, but certainly a big play. Kind of after that, I don't know that they had anything that went for more than 5 yards. And you could see the Ravens defense starting to clamp down on it. And, you know, we've seen this from burgundy and gold offenses over the years. When you're not able to protect and you're not able to put the ball downfield, how easy does that make that for a defense to start only having to cover 5 to 10 yards? There was one set of plays where you had the snap over, you had a fumbled snap, then you had back-to-back batted passes. And then the next time they were out, Trey Hendrickson beat Brandon Coleman around the edge for what would have been a sack. And then Kyle Hamilton came on an overload on the opposite side and got a free run at, I think, one of the running backs for a big TFL. And all of a sudden you're sitting there in a third and 30 situation similar to what we saw in Detroit. So, you know, you have to take it all with a grain of salt because of the players that aren't out there. But you're also looking at your one injury away or, God forbid, any of these guys aren't available when they come back. Honestly, my biggest takeaway, and it'll never happen because it's the NFL and they don't do this, I would have every single healthy player, including Jaden Daniels, play in Friday night's game because, quite frankly, if your first-team offense can't beat up on the Ravens' second- and third-team defense, that should tell you a whole lot. But there was very, very little positive to take out of this game, and maybe they're able to use that Antonio Williams touchdown at the end of the game, at the end of practice, as a rallying cry. But you know, Jeremy Reeves was very straightforward about, you know, if they play like they played today, that's how you end up with 5 wins in the NFL.
Mitch Tischler with us here on Grant and Danny. He was at training camp or at the joint practice in Baltimore and saw, I don't know, the less than stellar effort by the local 53. So where do they go from here, kind of to your point? I don't think they're going to change paradigm and have everybody play Mitch on Friday. But, you know, it's easy to say we could look back in 3 months and go, remember that terrible day and how much fun this season is? This could be kind of, you know, it kind of might portend what is actually coming here in terms of the bottom falling out and them not being very good. Kind of where do they go from here in terms of the work, in terms of prep and everything else to get ready for the regular season?
I got to be honest, I don't know that it's work or prep. I think you're at talent. And I think the positive that you take away from this is that you're seeing that some of the depth at very key positions, meaning the offensive line, is not where it needs to be. And hopefully, as the other teams are cutting down their 53 or there's a trade to make, you know, they recognize that. And the glass half full of it is, you know, had Nick Allegretti been healthy all camp and, you know, Matt Colvin or Julian Good-Jones looked okay against the second and third stringers of other teams, you know, if Allegretti got hurt in the season, you would have false bravado that one of those guys could step in and ultimately play that role. Now you know the answer. You don't have the depth at guard that you need. You don't have the depth at center that you need. I think we saw it by the fact that they brought in DJ Humphreys. They recognized that the Laremy Tunsil injury and having to move Coleman out there, they didn't have the depth at tackle they needed. They addressed it. hopefully they're able to continue to address it across the rest of the offensive line, because the group that was out there as the, you know, with the, that was taking the snaps with Jaden Daniels, I think you can tell from the interior was not good enough to play on an NFL football field.
So Mitch, together, going back to the center spot to end the conversation there, because you made a strong and I think an accurate point about it's Allegretti or it's a guy not on the roster. One, give me a thought on that, I guess. Like, is there any way they could do something else? And then two, let's say Allegretti's back. How does that fix everything? I mean, a guy who's barely played center, I think it was two games at the end of last year, 80-some reps or whatever. Like, now all of a sudden everything's better? Like, what's your thought on just how big of a deal he is to this thing?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where my concern has been, you know, since the Biotish cut was the all-in approach they had with Allegretti. I think the bar has been set at a low spot, so Allegretti is going to look great compared to what we've seen. But we also have to see him on the practice field. I mean, we're 3 weeks into camp, and he's practiced, you know, 1.5/1¾ practices so far. And the one padded practice he was in, you know, played half a practice and then ended up having to, you know, go out with re-injuring that calf. I think you're hoping that Allegretti steps in and is a reasonable center and you're able to go from there. You know, the issue to me is that this team, you know, whether they admitted it to themselves or kind of, they made a big bid to go get Lindenbaum, right? To go get the best center on the market. They bid, they put in a high contract offer for him. Am I happy that they didn't extend to whatever the number was, $30 million, to bring him in? Yes, because I think that shows a front office that has a limit to where they're willing to go with things. But there is a massive delta between swinging for the number one center on the market and ultimately standing pat. And I, as much as they continue to talk about, you know, how smart the group of centers are and how much they're understanding the offense and able to call it, quite frankly, you could have Albert Einstein at center, but if he's not, doesn't have the physical tools to step up and actually do the job, it's going to be cumbersome. And, you know, left tackles get all the love on the offensive line. And I think this is kind of highlighting the importance of having, you don't have to have an all-world center, but you can't have a center that's getting beat clean because it just blows up an entire play and the quarterback has nowhere to go when he has pressure immediately in his face right up the middle, especially since you see this offense trying to go under center, trying to run play action a little bit more, trying to do all those different things. So there has to be a move out there. There are a couple of different situations. I keep looking at the Houston Texans. They have three starting caliber centers on that roster, probably for only two spots, one being the starter, the second being, you know, a center guard mix. So there's going to be either a cut or maybe there's a, you know, late day three pick that this team could potentially flip over there to get one of those guys. You know, the Commanders did well by, did nice by Will Harris to release the veteran and give him an opportunity to go sign there. It would be great if we saw some other teams around the NFL do that with offensive linemen slash centers, because the Commanders need to hop on that train.
Mitch, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, boys. Thanks.
Yeah, good info from somebody who was on site, Mitch Tischler, after the Commanders, it sounds like, got pushed around, got their butts kicked by the Ravens in a joint practice today. And look, they gave it to the Dolphins in the first of those joint practices. I mean, the momentum of camp has clearly shifted here. That was a lot of injuries, a lot of bumps, bruises, guys that are nicked ago. That was a different team a couple weeks ago when you're playing a bad Dolphins team. And you're leveling up in competition.
Yep.
I think the fact that it comes after the starters were on the field for three plays and Daniels gets sacked and pressured two times probably doesn't make you feel any better either. But the question here is, and I want people to hit the phones on this next, at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. How concerned are you about the reports coming out of this practice today that it went as badly as it did? What is your level of concern? That poll was posted in our chat on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page where people are watching us right now. And so far, about 47% of people say they're very concerned. 38% say they're a little bit concerned. 15% are saying, not at all, it's a practice. They're going full Allen Iverson on this thing. We're talking about practice.
Must be nice. I wish I had that confidence.
The problem is this is more of a scrimmage.
Yeah.
This is not really a practice. This is effectively a preseason game without stands or a crowd.
Had they played in the second preseason, the dress rehearsal, second preseason game, everybody a half, and there wasn't a lot of stock put in this one, I'd go, yeah, whatever. It's a practice. Who cares? This is it, man. You see what I'm saying? Like, they showed you the basket. Look at where all our eggs are. It's here.
Well, this is also the thing that didn't happen last year that they pointed to for, I don't know, 3 months after.
Oh, yeah.
We needed that work so badly, it derailed us.
Well, they
or whatever.
Got that work today.
They got their work. Didn't go very well. So are you bothered, concerned, nervous based on what you're hearing or not really? 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny, remember, big announcement coming up a little over an hour from now at 3:30 on The Fan.
So yesterday we talked about the Harrison Butker 69-yard field goal in the preseason game for the Chiefs against the Buccaneers and how, you know, kicking field goals has never been easier. And I mentioned that one of the major reasons for, like, the unbelievable growth in made 55-plus yarders and made 60-plus yarders in 2025 was because of what the kickers were able to do with the footballs. They were now getting 60 footballs before the season began to break them in however they wanted, when the old rule was they got them 60 to 90 minutes before the game itself, so they didn't have as much time to do with it what they wanted to do. Lawrence Tynes, didn't he get in trouble for something? The kicker, the old Giants kicker? I think he was involved with something. Anyway, Lawrence Tynes tweeted out the following yesterday. Got to go back to the kicking balls on game day. It will instantly change the kicking game. So he's saying you can't give, and he goes on to say NFL teams have 50-plus kicking balls for the season in their possession all season long, so kickers and punters can do what they want to them during the weeks of the season. He said our sweet spot on the ball used to be the size of a golf ball. It is now softball size, and I'm not being hyperbolic. I love seeing the big ball, but kicking field goals in the NFL has never been easier. Yeah, I think they've got to do that, man. I think they've got to change the rule. They've got to give these kickers the 60 to 90 minutes, not the weeks in advance, to get the football to where they want to get the football. I mean, it's too easy to kick field goals now. It's too easy for the offense. I was wrong about something yesterday. I said that the average starting field position number was the 33-yard line. It was actually the 31.5. With the new kickoff rule. But still, you're talking about two first downs, and if you have a first down, one first down with a big play involved, you're in field goal range for a lot of these kickers. I think the offense has to earn it a bit more. I don't like it. All right, that's my what do you got. Lawrence Tynes helping out the cause. Former kicker. What did he do? Was it sexual harassment?
No, that's not. He was not nearly the worst Giants kicker to have some legal trouble.
Did I get him confused with somebody else?
Yeah. I forget his name, but I remember. I know what Giants kicker you're talking about, the one who may or may not have hit his wife. But on August 17, 2005, Tynes turned himself into Pierce County, Wisconsin jail after punching a bar patron and breaking a bouncer's nose in a bar fight the previous weekend.
Okay. Yeah, that's much less than what I thought.
Yeah.
Bar fight, I thought there was something much worse. All right, let's get back to the question of the day. The question is, I jotted down some of the major popular themes coming out of training camp and preseason last year, and then jotted down a few of them that I think are going to be the major themes coming out of training camp and preseason this year. And I want to know which ones for this year will hold up versus those that won't. Last year, there was, you know, a belief that Jaden was going to, you know, continue to be turn into a monster, even if the team took a step back. I remember saying the same thing going into last year. I'm like, look, he's the real deal. You know, he's going to continue to get better. The issue is whether or not, you know, the defense steps it up and whether or not the schedule plays into it. And they could end up being 10-7 instead of 12-5, but be a really good football team again. No, I didn't predict 10-7. I predicted 13-4, I think. I forget what my prediction was last year. And then another theme last year, the defense was going to be much improved with the additions they made, and with Sanmer still and Trey Amos and Luvu and You know, Bobby and the whole group, this secondary specifically, God, I found these tweets when we started training camp a few weeks ago with people, you know, that were out there play-by-play tweeting from training camp practices talking about, oh, my God, the secondary, wow. Amos, Sanristil, Will Harris edition. This is going to be the strongest part of the team other than the quarterback room. I mean, could anything have been further from the truth when the real games began? But people were right about the Terry situation. Ultimately, it really impacted the season. Now, it impacted the season more that Terry, when he was on the field, wasn't out there with his starting quarterback. That probably was a major factor in Terry's situation. But there's no doubt that him holding out and the hurt feelings associated with what turned out to be a very, not a pleasant contract holdout, hold-in situation. And the bottom line is the offense never was in sync, even though obviously the best players weren't on the field very much. So for this year, Jaden staying healthy. A lot of people very concerned about his ability to stay healthy in 2026. Are they going to be right or are they going to be wrong? The offensive line's a mess, with the center position in particular being very much mismanaged by the front office. Is that going to be true? Are we going to get to the regular season and find out, oh my God, they don't have a center, their offensive line is in total disarray? Clearly, they weren't predicting and weren't counting on Laremy Tunsil, their best offensive lineman, not playing. That's a big part of why the O-line looks less than what it was 3 or 4 weeks ago. But that's now a major theme. And of course, once again, for a second straight year, people are very bullish, very optimistic about the defense being much improved. So 301-230-0980. Look, for me, there's nothing on the Jaden injury concern front that I'm buying into. And the reason is I've got numbers to back me up. Until last year, he was a healthy quarterback as a college quarterback in two different places, where he started 52 of a possible 54 games. And as a rookie in the NFL, yes, there were nicks and knacks, including a rib injury, but he played in all 20 football games for Washington. There's 17 in the regular season, and there are 3 playoff games. I think last year was the aberration, and he will be healthy in 2026. And when I say healthy, I'm not saying that he's not going to have a banged up, you know, something that might cost him, you know, a half or even a game. But it's not going to be last year, where he had several injuries that basically cost him the entirety of the season. 13 of the 17 games he did not play in start to finish. 10 games he didn't play in at all. 13 he didn't play in start to finish. And that was not, you know, a season that can even be evaluated. So on that front, I feel like the naysayers, those that are concerned, are going to be wrong. On the offensive line, specifically the center position, I would like to say that what we've seen so far isn't necessarily indicative of what we're going to see when the regular season begins, because there's no game planning, because the actual starting center hasn't played yet, Nick Allegretti. But I am concerned about the offensive line in general. I think that when you take off of your offensive line one of the 2 or 3 best pass-blocking left tackles in the game, one of the best 5 or 6 overall left tackles in the game, there's no way you're not going to feel that. There's just no way. You have to accommodate now for that position not being what it was, which means now we got to look over and wonder whether or not Brandon Coleman, whomever he's going to be lining up against, needs help or doesn't need help. With Laremy, it's like, we're good. We just have to focus on the other 4 offensive line positions. And then the center is obviously a concern. And it's a concern right now because Nick Allegretti, who I do believe they think was going to be every bit of Tyler Biadasz, if not more, and I have nothing to say that they're wrong about that. We haven't seen it yet, but I'm concerned about multiple injuries with a guy who's been around for a while now and what appears to be legitimately no quality NFL depth at the position. That could change a week from now. That might be completely different based on players getting waived and being available. But as of now, those that are really concerned about the offensive line, I am concerned about the offensive line. Now, would I be shocked if the scheme and the game planning covers up for some of the flaws and it's not as disastrous as it would be if you're just lining up and player evaluating like they do in the preseason? No, I wouldn't be shocked at all. Do I think it's going to be a top-tier offensive line? No, that seems like a long shot at this point. And then with respect to the theme and the prediction that the defense is going to be much improved, I'll just say what I've said all along during the summer. There's no way it can be worse. No way it can be worse than last year. Last year was, you know, certainly in part due to the lost players. But for the most part, it was just a bad defense. It was a defense, as Quinn talked about the game on Saturday, that was constantly in disarray. The communication was bad. The organization was poor. And then they made up for it by tackling poorly and not creating any turnovers. I mean, it was the worst defensive season in my lifetime of watching my football team. Last year was. I don't think I've ever seen a worse defense over the last half of the season in this town than the 2025 Washington defense, especially after week 7 when they lost Dorrance Armstrong. It was over. They had no shot. I mean, I still go back to that Detroit game. I just can't believe an NFL team had 9 drives, scored on the first 8, and ran out the clock on the 9th, and never was stressed, not once. It was one of the most embarrassing displays of defense I've ever seen. And it's not like, you know, the Dallas game on the road or the Minnesota game on the road was much better. I mean, that defense made J.J. McCarthy look like Joe Montana. And he stinks right now. I mean, there might be a future for him. Who knows? I mean, he was bad last year, and his best pro game of his career was against Washington's defense last year. He led a 19-play, 98-yard drive that took like 11 minutes against our defense. It's got to be improved. Now, is it going to be much improved? I'm going to go with yes. But this is one of those where when we're doing this next summer, I don't want to look back and say, remember how optimistic everybody was about the defense being much improved? It was barely improved. You know, they finished 27th in takeaways. They were 26th on third down. That would be an improvement from last year, but I got to think that it's going to be closer to much improved than just barely improved. Max, Jaden staying healthy, the people that are concerned about that, are they going to be right or wrong?
See, and this is the big problem. I don't want to say that they're going to be right, but there's always a chance that they could be right. Now, Jaden has never really made an effort to protect himself. Now, I'm hoping that really takes shape into this year. But given the body of work so far over 2 seasons,
you're concerned.
You think
they're going to be right?
Yeah, I'm concerned.
Okay. What about the offensive line, the center position specifically? Is everybody going to be right that it's shaping up to be a disaster?
It could be. It depends on how Matt Golden plays.
I need a prediction from you. Are they going to be right or wrong?
I think they're going to be right. I think Matt Golden and Julian Good-Jones are not going to be enough, especially
if defense is going to be much improved. Are people going to be right about that or wrong about that?
I think people are going to be right about that as well. I think Durante Jones coming into this new system with Sonny Styles will be getting a lot of crap for what he's been putting on tape in the run game. But if you've been watching his coverage snaps, he's incredible, especially compared to what we got in Bobby Wagner last year. So,
all right. Let's go to Peter on line 1. Peter, go ahead.
Hey, first off, I think the defense, and I predict it will be better. No doubt about that. And I think it's going to be a lot better. Secondly, the offensive line, I think it's going to be okay. I predict they're going to be better and they're going to be okay. The third thing with Jaden, The same thing. I think he'll be better and he won't get hurt this year. I just think he will be. He'll be all right. I predict that. The thing that I'm worried about is the change from the offensive coordinators. Originally, I thought it might be a good thing. But it kind of concerns me him getting under center and not having Kingsbury do what he does. So that, because Jaden was like so dynamic in that offense in 2024, nobody could stop them. And so, you know, Duckberry's now with the Rams. So what's that say?
You
know,
I like what you just said, Peter. I think you just added another kind of, it's not a major narrative, but there are a lot of people that believe, thank God Cliff is gone. And there may be some, you know, questions about David Blau, but there are a lot of people that have bought into, yeah, the Cliff offense was not a good offense for Jaden or anybody else. So I'm not so sure about that. I'm with you. I'm not so sure about that. Now, I do think a more of a Shanahan style, McVay style, even a Ben Johnson infused into that mix is probably a great fit for Jaden too, and that he will excel. I think he'd excel in almost any offense, but he was outstanding in that offense as a rookie. And the truth is, the offense last year, even with the decimated, you know, injury results during the course of the year, they were much better than the defense was. Much better. They were middle of the pack in most of the advanced numbers in the league. Most people in the league think Cliff knows what he's doing. Whether or not it's what they would want for their offense, that's another question. But I think that's an interesting thing to introduce into, you know, the narratives, is that, you know, Cliff's gone, that's a good thing. That is a narrative. Don't you think, Max, that's a narrative that the majority think Cliff's gone is a good thing?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think that...
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I just think that Jaden being under center is going to help him a little bit more, especially, and it's going to help the run game, too. Like, that's going to be a big thing, because that was a big narrative last year, is not being able to run the ball when you needed to run the ball.
Yeah. I always find the running the ball thing to be so interesting. You know, I know we've done this a million times, but... Washington finished as the fourth best rush offense in the NFL, and Jaden barely played. So it wasn't like the quarterback was a big part of it. Rushing attempts, people said, you know, Washington didn't rush the ball enough. They were ninth in actual rushing attempts last year. Average yards per carry last year, 4.7 for Washington, fifth in the league. Like, I kind of agree that it never felt like it was as much of an emphasis as it should have been. And there's probably a lot of nuance and context around this. But the actual hard numbers suggest that anybody that says Washington didn't try to run the football and couldn't run the football are dead wrong. This was not a quarterback-led rushing offense last year. Understood why they were top three in the NFL in 2024. Jaden was a big part of the rushing attack, but not last year. Kroski Merritt had 800 plus yards. Rodriguez had 500 yards. Yes, Mariota had close to 300, but that's not what Jaden had in his rookie year. You know, McNichols had 200 and something yards. Who am I forgetting in the backfield last year?
Bill.
No, he led the team in rushing with over 800 yards. Yeah. I just think that's one of those things that, like, everybody just hears it and they're like, yeah, that's true. Yeah, they didn't try to run the football and they couldn't run the football.
Because they were
fourth in rushing yards and they were ninth in rushing attempts.
There were plenty of situations last year where they were near the goal line or just needed a few yards and we were all screaming, yeah. Cliff, run the ball. Yes. And it didn't happen.
You're right. You're right. Stan, go ahead.
Kevin, I chose the center position and the offensive line overall, but I think it ties into number one because, you know, if our offensive line is bad, worst case scenario, and it's looking not great right now, then that will eventually affect Jaden. I know you mentioned that he hasn't had an injury history, but, you know, if your line is really bad and, you know, like the pundits have said, you know, this is one of the worst offensive lines right now, you know, he's going to get hurt no matter his injury history or not. So that's what concerns me right now greatly. And I don't know what they'll do to improve him. Hopefully they'll remedy that before the season starts. But, you know, it's not a good feeling, especially when you see the first three teams that they're facing. You know, that's definitely going to be an issue. One thing, though, I think that you didn't mention in your themes that could be a theme is, you know, obviously the coach and the GM. You know, I think, you know, nationally, I watch a lot of national shows, and, you know, I don't think the feelings are too high right now on Dan Quinn. So if this season does go sideways, or if they start 0-3, or, you know, let's say they get off to a bad start, you know, I think his seat's definitely going to be on fire. You know, so that's definitely a theme that I think could, you know, pick up the pace, you know, as we go along here. I think, and also, you know, him calling that practice yesterday, you know, I think he feels that, you know, the pressure's kind of on him. So, you know, that could easily be a theme, or, you know, a theme that dominates nationally, you know, as the season goes on and if it's a worst-case scenario.
You know what? Two things from your call. I'm going to come back to the Quinn thing in a second. Your first thing, you're right. They do tie together. There's no doubt. Now, this is where Blau comes in, because really good OCs can, you know, mask, cover up some of those, you know, protection issues and flaws. But last year, as an example, in L.A., Justin Herbert had an offensive line that was in total disarray. They lost Rashawn Slater, the left tackle, in preseason. Alt was hurt. They had injuries throughout the season. He was the third most sacked quarterback in the league, and he played at nowhere near 100%, especially you could see it coming down the stretch last year. He was definitely banged up throughout the year, and it was really the offensive line's issue. Now, with respect to Quinn, I had no idea. Did you know? Do you know what Quinn's odds are right now to be the first coach fired in the NFL this year?
Isn't he like the favorite?
He wasn't 2 months ago. He is now. He is the favorite right now to be the first NFL coach fired. Wow. Because when we looked at this, I don't know, after the draft, maybe the last time. I haven't really checked this out in a while. He was not in the top five or six. Guys like Sirianni and Bowles and Aaron Glenn, they were leading the pack on that. Quinn right now at, let me just give you the, well, it's close. Okay, Aaron Glenn, Bowles, and Quinn are basically kind of co-favorites right now.
Damn.
To be the first. If you blend all these together, they're all right around between 3-1 and 4-1 to be the first coach fired.
And Bowles got a big vote of confidence from Vita Vea when he made that when he re-signed. Yeah.
Bowles is very, very good as a defensive guy, and players really respect Bowles. I actually, he's just one of those people. I mean, it's because he was an ex-Redskin, obviously, and a championship Redskin safety. I've just always rooted for Bowles, but I did not realize that Quinn was way up on that list. All right, Skip, Billy, Mark, Ian, Joe, stay on hold. If you want to weigh in, the question is, of the themes that have come out of preseason games, training camp, which ones are going to be true? Which ones aren't going to be true? The concern over Jaden staying healthy. Are those people that are incredibly concerned about that, are they going to be right or wrong? The O-line now looks like it could be an absolute problem for this team. Are those people that say that going to be right or wrong? The defense clearly is going to be much improved, right or wrong? 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and theteam980.com.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention.
Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.